Artificer Creation.
Welcome to episode 150 of the Let's Talk Photography podcast. I'm your host, Bart Bouchotz, and this is the show for March 2026. So, if you dig back into the archives far enough, you're going to find that I've talked about the joy of photographic projects before, but it has been a while. So I did a little search today and I found that way back in October 2015, that's 11 years ago on LTP 25, we had a panel discussion suggesting possible projects as a way of finding fresh inspiration. Then in August 2018, 3 years after that, in LTP 59, I described my approach to photographic projects in detail on the back of a question friend of the show, Antonio Rosario, had asked on a podcast he was a guest on. Very incestuous, that one. Good discussion, though. And then finally, in February 2022, I touched on a related suggestion to shoot in small series rather than individual shots. That's not quite the same as a photographic project. It's like a teensy-weensy mini project, but it's related, so I figured I'd throw it into the list. So I definitely have talked about my love of photographic projects before, but it's been a while. So now seems like a good time to talk about the concept again. A long-term background project is actually an excellent opportunity to learn about something else. So what I mean by that is to photograph something with care and attention to detail is what I suggest as a project, right? So pick a topic and just shoot it for a long time, carefully and deliberately, and to me that's a photographic project. And I often have projects on the go for years, and I sort of thinking about it, it's kind of a virtuous circle. The more you photograph, the more details you notice, which triggers more questions, which triggers more learning, which triggers better photography, or which leads to better photographs. As is often the case these days, this episode was inspired by sort of a photography-related anecdote that just sort of happened around the middle of the month, round about the time I was starting to worry maybe I wouldn't be inspired for a topic for the month's show. It's funny how that slight worry as we get to the 10th, the 11th, the 12th of the month, where I start to go, ooh, always seems to result in something, at least it has so far. Anyway, a few days ago, I was finishing my morning walk with a cup of my favourite coffee in hand, because it's a holiday weekend here in Ireland, or at least I've made it into one by taking an extra day to bridge to St. Patrick's Day. And so I treated myself to my favourite coffee, and as I was, you know, getting close to home, I glanced down at the footpath and noticed something, well, odd, and something I hadn't noticed before. Sort of a raggedy-looking dark pink thing lying on the footpath that sort of looked like it might have fallen from a tree. It had been stepped on a few times, so I wasn't really sure what it was. So I was like, oh, that's interesting, and I kept walking. And then a few steps later, there was another one. Then a few steps later, even more. And then I came to the part of the path that passes under a big row of trees, and they were everywhere. Most of them were trampled underfoot, because they're on a footpath after all, but the wind had blown a freshly fallen one into a very pretty arrangement with a yellow ivy leaf. God knows where that came from, because it's spring, not autumn, but there it was. So I put my coffee down, hunkered down low, and snapped what I think is a lovely shot that I titled Found Still Life, which is linked in the show notes, letsjusttalk.ie, where I shared it on Glass today. And basically, it is a very distinctly pink, long, tapering catkin lying on a footpath, you know, tarmacadam, basically up close, with a vividly yellow three-pointed leaf behind. And honestly, if I'd arranged it myself, I don't think I could have put it any better, but nature just popped it there. Beautiful photographic opportunity, okay. I was kind of happy with myself at having spotted the photographic opportunity, happy that a nice photograph resulted from. And I was kind of patting myself on the back. And then I was like, hang on a second. I walk this path all the time. This is one of the most pleasant ways for me to get from the village to my house, because it avoids walking along a footpath next to a road full of traffic. It lets me cut through a little park instead. And I much prefer to cut through a little park than to walk next to traffic. So I'm in here a lot. And I've, you know, not just this year, not just last year, for years. And I've never noticed these bright pink catkins before. What the heck? How is that possible? Then I was like, well, not only have I not noticed these bright pink catkins before, but I've never seen catkins like this in Ireland, period. So I got thinking, well, what are these trees? I was like, well, I actually don't know. All I know is that they're not our typical Irish wild trees. It's a park. They're obviously planted, and they were planted by gardeners, not by nature. And so whatever it is these trees are, I knew that they definitely weren't Irish wild trees. But I didn't know what they were. So I was thinking, racking my brain, what do I know about them? I said, well, they have sort of slightly silvery colour leaves, if memory serves. Sort of long and thin leaves. At some times of the year, there's some white fluff seems to fall off them, which gets all over the footpath. And other than that, I didn't really know. And now there's these amazing coloured catkins. So I was like, well, I'm going to find out what this is. I'm determined to figure out what these trees are now. They're cool catkins that I somehow had never noticed before. So 2026 being 2026, I decided that, you know, if I'd had a good photograph of just the catkin, I probably would have thrown it into iNaturalist and hoped for a good outcome. But given I didn't really have the perfect photograph to stick into iNaturalist, it would probably get confused by the ivy leaf and tell me, oh, you found some ivy. It's like, yeah, I know that one. So I decided instead, since really this is going to be a bit more of a hand-wavy sort of a question, to pop it into my favourite privacy-preserving AI chatbot, Lumo. And together we figured it out, actually rather quickly. So I basically described what I knew about the trees and what I had found, where I was in the world, you know, that I was pretty sure it wasn't an Irish wild tree, but whatever it was, it did grow in Irish parks or gardens. And we quickly figured out that it is a purple willow. These are actually quite common in gardens and parks because of these rather cute pink catkins. So link in the show notes to the Wikipedia article on the tree, and lo and behold, they are exactly the catkins I found. So well done, Lumo, and I learned something. That got me thinking. I learned something. So why was this the first spring that I noticed the catkins? Well, the answer is that without really meaning to, at no point did I make a conscious decision, I am starting a new photographic project. But actually, I have been on a project, I just hadn't realised it yet. I am very carefully tracking the natural cycle of the ordinary things that grow all along my regular walking routes. Now, I did this very consciously during the COVID year, which I talked about a few times on the show back then. Episodes 84 and 85 spring to mind, the circus animal's desertion, which is about losing and then finding inspiration again. And also a follow-up episode the month later that I hadn't really planned when I wrote The Circus Animal's Desertion. If you're wondering why that name sounds vaguely familiar, I named it for a poem by the Irish poet W.B. Yeats, because that poem is what triggered the thought. And the follow-up episode was Finding Inspiration in the Ordinary. And I, you know, during COVID, I was doing the same walking route all the time, and I decided that since I couldn't go to interesting places to photograph, I would make use of the fact that I was being in the same place over a long period of time and really watching it develop. And so that was a project I was consciously doing in the COVID year, but I've been doing it again, so up until now, subconsciously. But why? Well, it's actually because of AI, believe it or not. So the reason I got sort of tired of it last time, and it sort of petered out, was because after I'd done all the obvious plants, I found it really frustrating to try to figure out what it was I was seeing. And that frustration sort of soured the whole thing, and I slowly stopped doing it. And the reason was because initially I was getting, you know, traditional Irish wildflowers. I found a lovely website, Irish Wildflowers, that I... And I was able to scroll through a list of pictures and very quickly pick out, oh, that's one of those, and that's one of those, and that's one of those. And then I started to run out of the obvious ones, and I was still finding new and interesting natural things, but I couldn't find an ID for them, and I'm a bit of a completionist, and I sort of want to know, and yeah, it wasn't happening. But now, in 2026, between iNaturalist and just chatting to Lumo, getting an ID on something that grows is a breeze. It's easy. And so both learning about botanical things and photography of those botanical things have become a real joy again. And without realizing it, I have been carefully documenting the yearly cycle of my, you know, all the things that grows, not just the wild stuff like I had done during COVID. During COVID, I very much focused on the wildlife that was bursting through in suburbia between the cracks in the pavement and the hedgerows and stuff. Well, this time it's both garden plants and wild plants, because I can get an ID on both now that I have the AI at my disposal. And so I've actually been broadening it out. And that's kind of been an interesting experience now that I look back on it and realize that it actually has become a bit of a project again. So because I walk the same routes regularly, I don't tend to have the FOMO of missing a shot. If I see something new, something I haven't noticed or photographed before, a bud or a leaf or whatever, I don't grab any old shot so as I don't miss it. If there isn't a particularly photogenic shot, well, I just don't take a photograph. But I do take a mental note of the fact that something new is happening, and I just sort of keep my eyes out for the right opportunity, and it will come along. So over the next days or weeks, I will find another example of this plant that is in a place where I can put it into a nice photograph. And so the end result is that I am getting nicer photographs because no FOMO. So I can, oh, this isn't it. I'll get it next time. I'll get something next time. And I pretty much always do. And then because it's so easy to get the IDs, it's a joy to learn. So I'm really learning a lot about everything that grows both in the gardens and, like I say, wild. So that's kind of fun. And also it kind of helps the photography, because you then learn that this particular plant you've just discovered for the first time does something cool later in the year. Maybe what starts off as a very ordinary looking green bud turns into some sort of a bright red leaf later, or whatever, right? Whatever it is the plant was going to do. I now have a little mental note, and that means I'm keeping my eyes peeled for it subconsciously, to be honest. And then later in the year, I end up getting those photographs. So the learning is inspiring me to photograph, the photographs are inspiring me to learn, and the whole thing is just feeding into itself absolutely beautifully. So that's not really about a pretty pink catkin I nearly stepped on while getting coffee. That's actually a much broader lesson. So when I sort of cast my mind back to all of my photographic projects, the joy has always come from the virtuous circle that's set up by the fact that photography requires attention to detail. You can't take good photographs without paying attention to the detail. When you start to notice the detail, that leads to questions. When you get answers to those questions, that brings you learning, and that learning helps you actually make better photographs, because you know that certain things are going to happen or certain things happen a certain way. And so the learning feeds the photography, which leads to more attention to new details, which leads to more questions, which leads to more learning, which leads to more photographs. You see what this, you know, you see how this goes? So it is a virtuous circle that just keeps feeding itself, and that's why I get so stuck into things like railway photography. I mean, it's only a few months ago that I had an episode where I suddenly discovered a whole new thing about photographing steam trains, which I've been doing for years. But again, it's down to learning, down to thinking, down to experience, and it's that virtuous cycle. So the idea I hope I've left everyone with is that whatever it is that catches your interest, lean into the impulse. You know, build up this virtuous circle where you use your photography to trigger you to learn more, to trigger you to take more photos, to trigger you to learn more, and build the two up together and develop an understanding, a deeper understanding of a thing that catches your eye, a thing that catches your attention, a thing you're interested in. And hopefully what you'll find is that you enhance both your learning and your photography. I've been your host, Bart Bouchotz. You will find a sort of an essay version of this little discussion over at the website for the podcast at letstalk.ie, which is very pretty, shiny and new since I spent January redoing it. While you're there, you will notice that on every episode there are big call-outs to ask you to support the show. Those of you who ever have, thank you. Those of you who currently do, thank you. Those of you considering it, please do. This show is 100% listener-supported. It only exists because of the support of listeners. This isn't something I do for a living. I have a job. I quite like my job. This is something I do for love, and what I want is for it to not cost me money. I want this thing I do for love to be something that is for the community and paid for by the community and isn't a burden financially on me. The time I give with great joy, but I'd rather not have it be a financial drain as well as everything else. So that's all I'm really hoping for, is to break even approximately. And we're not quite breaking even, but we're not a million miles off, so I'm not stressing about it. But it will be nice just to nudge the contributions up a little bit higher, just to nudge them back, sort of. I think we're another 10-ish percent away from actually breaking even. Just, you know, a little bit more will be nice. But anyway, you will find everything at letstalk.ie. I have been your host, Bart Bouchotz. You can find my personal website, which is badly in need of a lot of TLC, over at bartb.ie. And until next time, happy snapping.